Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In 1 hour, the NFL trade deadline will come and go. We've already seen a blockbuster involving the Washington Commanders trading for Marshawn Lattimore from the New Orleans Saints. We've seen the New York Jets dump Mike Williams. More on that a little bit later on and why I don't love it. But the deadline is less than an hour away, and we will keep you posted throughout that next hour and throughout the program. So we've talked a lot about Juan Soto. You can rewind on the Odyssey app. Why, to me, as a Met fan, it needs to happen. Steve Cohen needs to be the highest bidder for Juan Soto. But when the Yankees acquired him a few months ago, more than a few months ago now, almost a year ago, I said to you, he's going to get a massive amount of money. He's going to get to free agency. The idea that the Yankees were going to sign him before free agency was a fallacy. For some reason, Sean Morash believed that. We tried to talk him off the ledge on that. And now here we are. So, Sean, by the way, you want to apologize. We'll accept that right now. Go ahead.
I'm still confused. Why would I apologize?
Because you were wrong.
I don't understand how I'm wrong.
You said that there was a possibility that Juan Soto would stay before free agency and sign an extension with the Yankees. But he didn't even consider it, bro.
I said a possibility, and we openly heard Hal during the season mention the possibility. So just because it didn't happen didn't mean it wasn't a possibility.
Juan Soto, upon getting to free agency, like minutes after the World Series ended, was like a cold tuna fish talking about, I'm just going to go for the highest bidder. That didn't sound like a guy that was willing to talk.
The Yankees didn't ultimately blow him out of the water during the season. I said possibility. I didn't say what happened.
Right, he's not taking the L, but we all know he took an L.
So you take an L.
Well, I'm willing to take L's when I get them. In fact, I may be about to take an L. Back on February 23rd, here on this program, I went around the room and said, all right, guys, Soto's going to get to free agency in 7 months. What do you think he's going to get in free agency? This is before he ever played a game for the New York Yankees. So let's check in on what our predictions were, and let's see if we, as a program, want to edit our predictions, because things change, and I think we're all open to that. So, who do you want to start with, Tommy? You got the voices of all of us from February 23rd?
Let's start with Evan Jefferson Washington Roberts.
Okay. Me. All right. 12 years, 625. That's my prediction.
Okay.
Evan, 12, 625.
Wow.
God, I'm above that now, man. That's $52 million a year. So, it's a pretty good amount of money.
Yeah.
But I think I'm above that right now. I think I want to edit that pick. But okay, that's what I said on February 23rd. 12 years, $625 million.
Okay.
Who's next?
Oh, a team barber.
The number is probably right. The number of years is probably right.
Going with 12.
So you can push it out.
All right.
I'm going to say...
Go ahead. Very excited.
600.
Oh, look at that. All right, so 600 divided by 12, that's $50 million.
Yep.
That's easy math. I needed my calculator.
You're right.
Who's next?
Sean Morash.
They're going to go two extra years. They're going to give him 14 for 675 to get you to 48 mil a year.
But, you know, I got to tell you, our predictions are pretty damn good.
Yeah, we're close.
I think we're in the area of where it's going to end up. Let's hear from, before he was positive, Tommy, just regular Tommy.
Juan Soto will sign a 14-year, $700 million contract.
Wow. Yeah, I like Tommy's, by the way. It's $50 million a year. But it's getting that 14. You said 15 years? I apologize. You said 14 or 15?
14.
You said 14. 14 years, $700 million. So we all have the chance to kind of ride with this into the offseason, or we have a chance to edit it. Tommy, 14 and 700. Are you going to stick with it, or do you want to edit
it? Okay, I feel like I'm on a game show. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to stick with it. It's like Family Feud. I'm going to stick with it.
He's all excited. All right. Is that your final answer?
Final answer. We're sticking with it.
All right. He's sticking with 14 years, $700 million. Sean Morash, are you sticking with 14 years, $675 million?
No, I'm upping it.
the Yankees are going to pay Juan Soto 14 years, $714 million to give that extra mil per year to sweeten it up a little bit.
Wow. Nice. Look at you. So you're above that threshold of $700 million. That's $51 million a year. So a little bit of an up from Sean Morash. Tiki, you are at 12 years, $600
million. Yeah, it's going way up.
Really?
Yeah. You know why?
Why?
I started thinking about what the best football players in the United States make. And if Dak Prescott is making $60 million, by the way, he's likely to miss a month going on IR. They're deciding whether or not he's going to go on IR, but whatever. He's missing time, again, making $60 million a year. Everybody else in that tier is making about 50-something million dollars a year, $55 to $50 million a year. Daniel Jones is making $40. Juan Soto is significantly better and more important than those guys on their respective teams. He needs to be making $60 million a year. I still like the 12 years because it puts him out until he's 38, which is when his usefulness probably starts to wane. It probably is waning at that point, but hopefully whoever he's signed with has won a championship and it's been worth it. 12 years, $720 million.
Wow.
Holy mackerel.
Okay.
If Dak Prescott can make $60 million a year to play 17 games, which he never does, Juan Soto can make $60 million to play 162 games.
That's
or 154.
That's an interesting way to look at it. I was not thinking about Dak Prescott, but you're right. I mean, Dak's making $60 million a year. I think that Scott Boras has two magic numbers in his mind. Mm-hmm. I think magic number one is he wants to defeat Shohei Ohtani's average annual salary, even including deferments, which is at about $47 million.
Right.
So I think magic number one for Scott is he wants $50 million per year, which I don't think is crazy.
It's not.
When you really think about it, it's not.
Think about how many quarterbacks are making that. Wide receivers are getting closer to that. Defensive ends are. Basketball players, some of whom are not like the best of the best, are making that and soon to be making 70 or 80.
It's on its way.
So why not? Revenues are increasing. We have no idea what baseball teams actually make, because they don't give us their national TV deals, but we do know what stadiums make, which is about, I don't know, $2 to $3 million a game.
Right.
And so that comes out to about $400 million. Think about all the money that's in the pipeline for these teams.
Well, I was thinking, it's a good point. I was thinking about it more along the lines of, okay, Ohtani almost have to throw out, because Ohtani actually makes $70 million a year, but yes, so much of it is deferred that we can't even call that a real number.
Yes.
So if you want to call it $47 million a year based on the AAV, fine. But then take a look at last year's highest paid players. Justin Verlander. That's right, Justin Verlander. $43 million. Thank you, Steve Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
Max Scherzer, $43 million. Thank you, Steve Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Judge, $43 million. Jacob DeGrom, $40 million. Garrett Cole, $37 million. Mike Trout, $36 million. I say that just so you have an idea of, okay, this is what guys are making per year.
Yeah, and who played and was worth a damn in any of those?
Honestly, Aaron Judge.
That's it.
I mean, Ohtani, I guess. Ohtani, yes.
Well, Ohtani, I'm excluding.
You almost have to exclude him because it doesn't make sense.
Right. It just happened, and he's partly paid to be a pitcher, which he didn't really even do.
No, literally the only guy's Aaron Judge, because Mike Trout is damaged goods at this point.
Right.
Anthony Rendon is high on this list. Give me a break. Steven Strasburg is still making a lot of money. And then you get to a guy like Francisco Lindor, who you'd say, yeah, he earned it this season. No question about it. But if you look at Aaron Judge, who's a great player, and you look at all those other pitchers, you're telling me it's really crazy for Juan Soto to get a little bit of a raise over that?
Nope.
So instead of it being 43, it's 50? Why is that nuts?
It's not nuts.
I think it makes perfect sense, especially when you look at where he is in free agency. Verlander and Scherzer were old. Granted, short-term deals, but they were old.
Yeah. Judge was 30.
Yeah.
Almost 31.
To a degree, Judge was old. So Juan Soto getting to 50, to me, is not crazy. So the magic number is $50 million a year. The other magic number is, I think Scott Boras is going to try to get the 15 years. That was the offer, or close to the offer, I think the Nationals were gunning for.
Yeah.
And at 26 years old, is 15 years really that crazy?
It
takes you to 40.
It's not, but I don't love it because it's he's 40, 41. They're going to be at least 3 years of that deal where it's just going to feel bad. So 12 makes sense to me. And by the way, at 12, you can still get to a ridiculous number because of what I was just talking about.
Yeah.
Some of the best, highest paid players in all the other sports. Not that it needs to be commiserate, but I remember there was a time where the NFL quarterback used to bitch and moan and say, are you kidding me? Basketball players who barely play, who you know, are chilling for half of their game are making $45 to $50 million a year, and then 3 or 4 years later, guess what happened?
Yeah.
Quarterbacks are making $50 million a year. Why aren't baseball players making, especially the best baseball players, making almost $50 million a year?
Well, I think this is the guy to get it because of his age and because he got the true free agency.
Yes.
And so that's why my official prediction is moving way up. I went from 12 to 625. And by the way, you did nothing wrong on this, Sean. You're right, I said that. I remember later in the segment editing it that day to like 15 years, $700 million. But I have to be owned by the first thing I said. So I'm with you on 12 to 625. It's the first thing that came out of my mouth. Now I'm at 15 years, 750.
Mm.
I think it's going to be that high.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. We also talk about like how much control teams have over players.
Mm-hmm.
And think about how rare it is to do what you just said, Evan. Get the free agency pre-27.
Never happens. Very rarely happens. I shouldn't say never.
Not for the elite.
Right.
Who was the last elite player to get to free agency before they were 27
years old? So I think Bryce Harper, Alex Rodriguez, and I think Manny Machado was very young too. So it's really those three. How often has that happened in the last 25 years?
It very, very rarely happens. And those guys were all pre, like, stupid money. It's stupid money now.
Yeah.
And it's because the revenues have increased across all sports. The ownership values have increased, and the owners themselves are more billionaires.
Yeah.
And so the one thing about baseball that we have to take into account is that we have no idea how much these teams actually make. No, absolutely no idea. It's never going to be disclosed. It's not like in the NFL where national revenues are obvious. You see it in the salary cap. 51% goes to the owners, 49% goes to the players. You can extrapolate how much national money is made. It's just easy.
Yeah.
And in fact, the Green Bay Packers are kind of publicly traded, or at least they have to disclose it. So we know specifically how much NFL teams make. We know what NBA teams make. We have no idea what Major League Baseball teams make. And I promise you, they're not operating at a deficit.
No.
Even when they scream foul and poverty during COVID, they were not operating at a deficit. They have the money to pay these guys this much money, or at least one or two guys this much money on their rosters. And Juan Soto, who is rare at this stage of baseball, I think, history, he deserves it.
I agree with you. That's why I give it to him. By the way, I have a document. I don't know why, because I'm that big of a loser. I have a document on my tablet called Show Predictions. And we have a lot of them. In fact, coming up in just 2 weeks, we are going to pay off the Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift being married prediction.
Oh, yeah. That was a date. We had a date, right?
Yeah, November 16th.
That's right.
And we made this prediction on May 15th.
That's right. That's because the Chiefs play the Bills and it's off a Taylor Swift concert in Toronto.
That's right. That was the reason. So I have all the information, and believe it or not, and I'm proud of this because it shows you that my brain is like very consistent on this. I wrote down what we all predicted for the Juan Soto contracts back on February 23rd. And you just heard the audio of it, all accurate.
You know, wait. So when you wrote down the one that you changed it to?
No, I wrote down both. I even wrote down Evan 12625 ... changes it later in segment two. Believe it or not, what I just said on the radio, 15 years, 750. So clearly my brain is still operating on that 15 years, 750 clip. And by the way, Sean, if you think I'm lying, go back to the February 23rd show.
It's not worth me.
And I will bet you $150 right now.
$150. I'm a Yankee fan. I need to pool everything for Juan Soto.
And then you can take it and send it to Hal Steinbrenner. In fact, I'm so confident, you owe me nothing. If I'm right, we're even.
No,
if I'm wrong, I give you $150.
Evan, I promise I trust you.
Thank you. By the way, some other predictions to look forward to that will be paying off. Where Bill Belichick is in 2025. Have that written down.
I know where I said he'd be.
How? Yeah, I know.
On the
Do
beach
you remember?
With a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right. No, you have a team. You're wrong. You have a team. I'm stunned by this team. You're going to be wrong about this one.
Okay, go ahead.
You want me to tell you what that was? This is back on January 25th we made these predictions.
January 25th.
I write it down. Tiki Barber predicted that Bill Belichick next year was going to be coaching the Arizona Cardinals. Mm-hmm. Do you remember saying that?
I do.
Yeah. Sean has a shot. I have a shot. Lugie's dead. Lugie said the Jets.
So that one's dead. You can forget that. I mean, he's talked so much trash about them.
Too much trash. There's no way he'll ever coach the New York Jets.
Why
no
not?
Way. I think that he clearly shows you how much he despises what he
does. Wait a second. When we were all younger, when we were Jets age, we would pull a girl's hair. We'd start a rumor she had cooties because we really liked them. Maybe Bill just trashed the Jets all these years because he wanted to ultimately coach them.
Actually, there's only one thing that could get Bill Belichick to coach the Jets. There's a unifier involved in this.
Who's that?
Well, he may have free time after today, or he may be very busy. And that is someone who's close with both Woody Johnson and Bill Belichick, who could bring them together like it's the Accords, if you will. And that person's name
is one Donald.
Is Donald Trump.
Or he pulls Woody away from the Jets, and now Bill Belichick.
Right. Yeah, it depends if he wins or not, actually. And you had the Jaguars, Sean. That's an interesting one. Yeah.
Wow.
So we'll check in on those predictions, you know, sometime
that one,
later.
That one still has some viability.
I agree. My prediction was the Cowboys, by the way. Yeah. So we kind of still have a shot.
Yeah, you two have shots.
So our official Soto predictions are locked in. We'll see what happens. Let's go to Frank in Bloomfield, New Jersey. What's up, Frank? Hello, Frank.
Frank.
Frank going once. Frank is gone. How about Angel in the Bronx? How are you, Angel?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
All's good.
Big fan of you guys. Thank Evan, you, fellow Met fan here.
Yeah.
I'm super pumped for Soto. We really need this guy, but I also think we need some pitching as well. Who do you think we should keep? Who do you think we should get in this free agency? Because, sure, you know, the bats can get us far, but we all know that pitching is what wins us championships. What do you got?
So I have a couple of ideas. Number one, the biggest fish in the starting pitching free agency is Corbin Burns.
Yeah.
What I wonder about with a guy like Steve Cohen is if you're dropping $700 million for Juan Soto, are you then going to drop $180 million for Corbin Burns? My answer would be, sure, why the hell not? But I also have to be reasonable, Teague, that it's likelier than not that as much as Steve Cohen is our daddy Warbucks, he may not do that.
Yeah.
So I like the strategy that the Mets employed last year of getting guys on shorter-term contracts. It's why making the qualifying offer to Luis Severino and Shaw Manaea are no-brainers. If they say yes, great. You have them on one-year, $21 million deals. So bringing back Shaw Manaea would be something I'd be intrigued in. Bringing in Walker Buehler on a short-term contract would be something I'd be drawn in by. I'm scared of Blake Snell on a long-term deal. I'm scared of Max Fried on a long-term deal. But I do think that they need to add two starting pitchers or retain two starting pitchers to go along with the emergence of David Peterson and the fact that Kodai Senga is going to be in the rotation and hopefully healthy.
Yeah, the challenge with the starting pitchers is that most of them are a little bit older. Like, I'm just looking at the list now. Flaherty, he was, I mean, obviously he's a world champion, so it's like, how do you knock him? But do you really fully trust him?
No, no interest.
Exactly. So he got knocked around a couple of times. He still won a world championship, so you give him credit. But other than that, everybody else is old.
Yeah.
Verlander's old. Evaldi's old. Even Fried, who, you know, I don't know if he loves New York, as you talked about last week when we mentioned him. He seems like he's gonna stay, go back. He got the qualifying offer. Blake Snell, I have zero trust and health-wise?
No, and honestly,
it's really Corbin Burns.
Well, he's the only guy I would be willing to give a long-term contract to. Everybody else, look, on short-term deals, I think the Mets kind of showed you, and there was some luck involved, but the Mets showed you the proper strategy around starting pitching these days.
1 year.
Short-term deals.
One year, two, maybe with an option, but that's it.
That's where you want to go. And look, a lot of it and a lot of the Mets' success, especially in the second half, was the development of their own guys. David Peterson was great in the second half of the year, and they're going to need him next year to take that step.
Where is elite starting pitching coming from? Where is it? Like, I don't see it now.
Develop them.
But that's easier said than done.
Well, the Mariners have. Now, it hasn't been enough because they don't have an offense, but they've got, you know, George Kirby and Logan Gilbert and Brian Wu. They've got a lot of good young pitching. And someone suggested this on the Rico the other day, and it's actually a really creative idea. I just don't think Met fans have the stomach for it. Take a bat, offer it to Seattle for one of their top pitchers.
Right.
Now, you could all smile and say, great, I'll trade Jeff McNeil. No, it's going to have to be a little bit more uncomfortable than that.
So it's more trades than it is, like, finding free agents.
Yes, because if you want younger guys, it's going to be via trade. Like, George Kirby is, like, this really good young starting pitcher who's under team control. He's a New York kid, and he's only 23 years old. We'd all want him. But, hey, Tommy, turn your mic on. I'll make him the guinea pig on this. You want George Kirby. How great would that be?
That would be amazing.
Mark Vientos.
No.
Okay. By the way, I agree with you.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of thing that a team like the Mariners would do.
Right.
Now, maybe you could take some of your prospects. Drew Gilbert is very highly regarded, and use a player like that to acquire a young pitcher. But I like the idea of veterans on short-term deals. Not just because it just worked out for the Mets, but because it's the smarter way to do it. I think the Yankees made a huge mistake on a guy like Carlos Rodon. I wouldn't give a contract like that out to him.
Mm-hmm.
I'd give it out to Gerrit Cole. I'd give it out to Corbin Burns.
Right.
But really, the list kind of stops there.
Yeah, the Yankees fell for it.
The Yankees fell for it.
They fell for the 1 year. I'm on a contract year, and I'm going to be great. You fell for it.
Yeah. Joel is calling from Kearney, New Jersey. What's up, Joel?
Hey, what's up, guys? Quick question. In terms of the Mets, if let's say for whatever reason you don't get Soto or Pete Alonso, what is your next play? The other thing is, what do you think if the Yankees don't get Soto, how about Trout, getting a trade with Trout coming to New York?
Do you really want to do that, though?
Yeah, do you really want him?
Like, he's never healthy. Forget the money, because maybe the Angels would pay a part of it, but Mike Trout really feels, as great of a player as he was, as just damaged.
What is he, 32?
Mike Trout is 33 years old, which is crazy, because he's still so young.
I can't even remember the last time he played a full season.
Well, I'll give you the answer. You want to guess? You guys want to play a game? When's the last time Mike Trout played a full season?
19.
And by the way, how would you define a full season?
So at least 140-plus games.
Okay. 2018, 140 games.
I said 19, but wow.
Well, 2019's on the border, so here's Mike Trout. 29 games last year.
29?
82 games in 2023. 119 games in 2022.
Okay.
Cute. Mm-hmm. That was cute. Mm-hmm. Not bad. 2021, 36 games. He sort of played a full season in 2020, 53 of 60, but I don't know what to do with that. 2019, 134 games, so almost a full season. 2018, he played 140 games that year, full season. 2017, he played 114 games. So 16 MB and before is when he was a consistent, that guy can play all the time player. Now, if you have a lot of money, so I'm going to use the Mets as an example, not the Yankees, because I think the Yankees, if they sign Juan Soto, or even if they don't, they have Aaron Judge, they have Gerrit Cole. If you have a lot of money, it could be worth exploring saying, you know what, I'm going to take a financial risk on it.
Yeah.
But understand the risk is probably not going to work because he's never healthy. And I doubt age 33 is going to be the year where he starts to stay healthy. So it's one of those, if you've got the money and you're willing to kind of take that money risk, I guess, why the hell not? But the track record tells you he's never going to be the same player.
I don't love that.
Yeah.
I don't love Trout. I like him as a player, and I like his story and his history and whatever he did when he was younger, but zero trust at 33 years old he's going to be any value to you.
I will give you a backup player, a backup plan. He's better than a backup player or a backup plan, but in terms of we didn't sign Juan Soto and we're the New York Yankees. We didn't sign Juan Soto and we're the New York Mets, or Pete Alonso and we're the New York Mets. And I know this pains people. Sean hates the guy, wants to punch him in the face every time he thinks about him. But you talk about a winning player, you talk about a good player, maybe not a great player, but a very good player, and that guy is Alex Bregman. That's a good, solid backup plan. But Yankee fans have a lot of hate in their heart, Tiki.
Mm-hmm.
They can't forgive him.
Yeah.
I get it. You're very unforgiving.
Get over it.
Nah, I'm good. Give me Jazz at third.
He's unforgiving, Tiki.
He is. You're terrible.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of Jazz Chisholm, you know, he just mentioned Jazz.
Yeah.
Got a lot of respect for Jazz Chisholm.
Why? What happened?
Why? What do you think Jazz Chisholm did with his Monday night prior to Election Day?
Chisholm!
It wasn't campaigning. No. Nice guess, though. It was not. Jazz Chisholm was doing what any red-blooded American would do on a Monday night in New York City.
He was watching Monday Night Football.
He was in Brooklyn, New York.
That's embarrassing.
Sitting courtside.
The Nets still in the league.
Watching Ja Morant put us in blenders. I mean, how good is he, by the way? And watching the Brooklyn Nets win a basketball game.
And sitting in between Willie Randolph and Omar Minaya.
So here's the question. Yes. Obviously, it was on the arm. It was a freebie. They showed him on the big screen. What kind of reaction?
Nice reaction.
Mm. Nice reaction, though?
How would you define it, Sean?
A very polite hand.
He got a golf clap?
No.
Like, but it wasn't like a raucous, everybody stand up.
It wasn't a roar.
It was, you heard a very loud applause, as did Willie Randolph.
In fairness, it wasn't Young Cuddy. I mean, Young Cuddy did a lot better.
Kid Cuddy.
Kid Cuddy.
Young Cuddy.
Kid Cuddy. Now, and also Mittens.
I was like, who was he? What are you talking about?
No, Kid Cuddy got a big roar from the crowd. And then there was a female tennis player, to be honest. Me and Evan would have got a bigger hand.
Yeah. When showed the
who was it? Jessica Pakula?
No, not a young one.
A long time ago.
Renee something. I got it. Yeah. Tiki, you had the same reaction everybody Barclays did.
It's not like it was Tracy Austin or Martina Navratilova here. Right. So they had this older tennis player, got no hand, and I looked at Sean and I said, I can't believe I'm saying this because we're not cocky people. They may have to put us up on the screen. I mean, we may be at that point where, but then the celebrities got stronger. Willie Randolph, I think, by the way, Willie got a bigger hand than even Jazz Chisholm because the Nets did something smart. When they put Willie Randolph up, they put two logos up. They put the Met logo up, too.
Mm.
They gave him a little love for managing the Mets to the National League Championship Series back in 2006. And then, of course, unceremoniously getting fired a year and a half later at 2 o'clock in the morning. But, yeah, Willie got a nice hand and Jazz got a nice hand. Jazz was having a great time.
Who had the most? Willie?
No, Kid Cudi.
Kid Cudi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kid Young Cudi. Cudi is Evan likes to call him.
I apologize.
I'm just...
Is he from Brooklyn?
I don't know.
He wants to see good basketball team.
At an affordable price.
Hold on. I'm just trying to decide, figure out why he got such a good round of applause.
Because people knew who he was.
Of course you know who he is, but...
You know why? Because when you go to a Brooklyn Nets game, and I'm not trying to take a shot at a team I love,
that's
too.
That's fine. Go ahead.
When you see somebody with the name recognition of Kid Cudi, it makes you feel better about making that decision on a Monday night to go to the next game as well.
Kid Cudi? Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Nah, he's from Cleveland.
Isn't there a little hypocrisy going on right now from Sean Marash?
What is that?
Sean Marash had a little chuckle. We all remember it. When Mendy and Lindor were at the Knick game. Shouldn't Jazz and other Yankees maybe lay low a little while after they embarrass themselves in the Masters?
I need to disagree.
A Brooklyn Knick game?
I need to disagree with you. Can I tell you why?
Go ahead.
Okay. My issue with Carlos Mendoza being at a Knicks game was that baseball was still going on,
yes,
and the Yankees were in the World Series, and it made it look very small. The baseball season's over. And you're right, it ended badly for the Yankees. No one's denying that. Jazz also didn't have the greatest postseason, but the season's over. And I think from that point on, you can go wherever you want. I don't think it's embarrassing. So I think it is very, very different in my independent,
but
humble opinion.
Now Sean has to be honest. He won't, but I'm going to ask him a question. Had the Mets made the World Series and they lost and Mark Vientos is at UBS at an Islander game, Sean would have taken shots at them. At Vientos,
no,
at the Mets? Yes,
no,
you would
as
have.
As a matter of fact, I would have taken shots at the Yankees had they lost and it was Cleveland and the Dodgers in the World Series the night the World Series was being played. You got to, look, Tommy, you just got to follow the way the rules work here, okay?
Follow the way the rules work. They're very complicated rules. We'll get back to your calls at 888-808-1019. Plus, speaking of the World Series, my cousin Dave Roberts, with a very honest admission about the World Series that may really annoy Yankee fans. On this beautiful Election Day 2024, get your sticker and vote today before the polls close. I think in New York, the polls close at what, 9 o'clock? Or is it 10 o'clock? I think we stay open very, very late. So do it when you can. Get that vote out, baby.
Those polls close. Some clubs' polls stay open all night.
Thank you for that, Sean. Very much appreciated. Dave Roberts, my cousin, is the manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Obviously, I let you know that I may be a little biased towards Dave. I remember all the names, Tiki Barber, of people that criticized Dave's managing of Game 4 of the World Series, Tiki Barber.
I already apologized.
You did apologize. Okay, who else? Sal Licata. I remember everybody who decided to criticize my man Dave Roberts. But one thing about Dave is that he's very honest. And so the other day he was on Mookie Betts' podcast. It's kind of funny to even just say that. Like, that's the world we live in right now.
Everybody has a podcast.
They do. And so Dave Roberts admitted something, and I appreciate this. We're not going to waste your time with Joe Kelly because we played a little bit of Joe Kelly's clips the other day. Joe Kelly's a loser who didn't even pitch in the postseason. He's irrelevant. He's a bitter Yankee hater. That's all he is. So when Joe Kelly opens his mouth and says dumb things like, "Wow, the Yankees are the ninth best team. They suck. They're bad at defense. Right. Their stars are losers." Like, it comes from a motivation of hate. And that's okay. He has a right to hate the Yankees.
Yeah, but it makes him a loser.
I agree with you.
It really does. So, he's a winner, obviously, because he has a ring and he's on the championship team, but I mean, shut up.
Yeah, shut up, dude.
Contributed a ton.
Yeah, really did. Look, Joe Kelly, nothing personal, but we know you have an agenda, and that's okay, so whatever. Dave Roberts doesn't have an agenda. He's an honest guy. Tell me if this bothers you if you're a Yankee fan, if his honesty actually gives you a stomachache thinking about this World Series. Here's Dave Roberts talking about what would have happened potentially if this series went back to LA.
I will tell you this now publicly. I was so afraid to come back to Los Angeles for Game 6, knowing we still had Yamamoto in our back pocket. But the point being is that if we were to come back, the noise, the pressure becomes real.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you're going to start potentially being part of history in the wrong way. Mm-hmm. A team that gave up. Mm-hmm. A 3-0, because it's never been done in the World Series. We did it in the ALCS, the Yankees versus the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, that was the fear of going back. So to your point, yes, I managed with urgency. Even when we were down 5-0, I didn't know how we were going to finish this dang game.
That's impressive.
It's impressive that he would admit it. I'm stunned that he admitted it, but I think that's the beauty of Dave Roberts. Like, they won the World Series, he's going to be honest. What this would do to me if I'm a Yankee fan is this would bother me at the missed opportunity that the Yankees had.
Oh, yeah. It should piss you off.
It wasn't just beating the Dodgers in Game 5. It wasn't just blowing a 5-0 lead. It was that the manager admitted he would have been scared going back to L.A.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't have been the only one scared.
No, you're not. I mean, I think the biggest thing he said there was about pressure. Like, the Yankees allowed the Dodgers to be pressure-free once they came to New York. They never felt it.
Mm.
And the only way they were going to feel it again is if they had to go back to L.A. Because they got up 3-0, it's just kind of like, let's just have fun and play baseball. Whatever happens, happens. But if you lose 2 in a row, and now you're going back and all the momentum, and theoretical momentum, is shifted to the Yankees, you start to feel pressure.
No doubt.
And maybe you get tight. Maybe you're not playing as freely and as loosely. Maybe Freddie Freeman's not hitting first-run home runs every first at-bat. So it pisses you off because you let them off the hook.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people will, look at this in history and say, oh, it was a gentleman's sweep. But the Yankees weren't out of any game, right? They easily could have.
Game one alone.
Exactly. Should have won game one. Could have won game 5. Right, like you think about all of these, they did win game 4. So it easily could have been the other way. And so when you hear the manager of the other team saying, yeah, they had us, right, feeling pressure again, that's when you lament the missed opportunity most.
Yes, yeah, that's always going to bother me. But this is now the second time in my life I've experienced this. When the Rangers lost to the Los Angeles Kings, several players 2 days later came out and said, boy, if we didn't win that game 5 in overtime, we were going to come back and lose this series. I'm just so sick and tired of winning teams saying this and throwing it back. Just enjoy your win, and that's great for Dave Roberts that he thinks that and says that. And he also kind of couches it. Well, we had Yamamoto, too. It's so easy after you win.
Yeah, but what does that even mean?
Exactly. That makes you feel better? I mean, come on. I'm so sick and tired of losing championships and having to hear people from the opposing team go, if we would have lost that game, you know what? Enjoy your ring. Screw off. See you next year.
He's just being honest, though.
Yeah. Is he, though? Would he have in Game 6 been real nervous starting Yamamoto versus Carlos Rodon?
You know why I believe him? I'll tell you why I believe him. Not just because, he's Dave Roberts, and why wouldn't I believe him? Roberts never lie. After they went up 3-0, and I don't have the audio because it was so long ago and it just kind of happened, so I didn't pull it, so just trust me on this. At the beginning of the press conference, he was asked about 3-0, and it was equated to the Red Sox, and he cut the questioner off to be like, no.
Yeah.
We're not doing that. So he almost preemptively told you, I don't want to think about this 3-0 thing.
I don't want karma to come back on me.
Right. It's almost as if the Dodgers would have been better off winning the first 2 games and losing game 3 and not having the 3-0 thing being a cloud. Because I think what he was saying is, and I, look, we'll never know the answer to this. It's like the fictitious Met Yankee World Series. We'll argue for the next year. We don't know what would have happened.
Yeah, we do.
But it reminds... Joe Kelly says you suck.
Dave Roberts disagrees.
Go ahead.
What I was going to say is, it does lead to that question of, my God, if the Yankees didn't blow a 5-0 lead, they probably were going to win the series.
I mean, maybe.
Like, it kind of puts it in your head, like, despite... Yes,
well, that's what Sean was saying. After, on Wednesday, our last day at Yankee Stadium, that's what you were saying. Win this, and then it's downhill.
Yeah.
Now it's easy. It's even though you're on the road, it's just easier. Because
you're one win away from tying it at that point.
Exactly. Just win one game, and then it's anybody's game.
And here's what's so crazy about that. So the Yankees were an inning away, essentially.
Yes.
And not just the fifth inning, but the eighth inning, they had a lead, too. From taking this thing back to L.A., maybe making baseball history, and Dave Roberts admitting they'd be scared.
Right.
Because they had those two bad innings, we are now openly talking about how they got to change everything about the New York Yankees.
No, they just need to keep Juan Soto.
I agree. Right. But I think that there are Yankee fans, because of the way it ended, that are like, we have to reevaluate everything. Well, meanwhile, they were this close to being at game six.
But that's mostly because of how bad it felt letting them get up that way, letting them be not being aggressive enough, not having an urgency. Like, all of those things that we've talked about, that still really is an issue.
Right.
Even though the reality is they weren't that far away.
Right. It wasn't like they lost on a bad pitch or two. It comes back to they felt fundamentally broken as to why they lost.
Yeah.
So that's why fans have freaked out on wanting to change everything.
Let's go to Frank in Bloomfield. What's up, Frank?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? I hope your days are really going good since you're on the radio.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I have this. All right, first of all, you guys are going to laugh at me when I tell you this. And it is funny. I lost my virginity today. As a voter.
He's got to be scared there.
Right, you're like, wait,
how old are you, Frank? Out of curiosity, how old were you when you lost your voting virginity?
I'm 44. I'm going to be 45 next month.
Wow, and you finally did. You know what?
Oh, that's amazing.
Don't let anybody make you feel bad. You did the right thing.
That's awesome, dude.
But you got there, and you got your sticker, and you voted. Good for you, Frank. Congratulations.
I didn't get it. Well, thank you. I didn't get a sticker, though. I heard you guys talking about it, but I didn't get one. Oh, by the way, Tiki, I'm a little upset with you. You got me to buy Starburst over the weekend because you mentioned it last week on the station.
And
I went and bought Starburst. I shouldn't be eating it. I got diabetic.
My bad.
But I blame you for that move.
My bad. I don't eat them. I don't eat them really that much. But I had them last week because it's Halloween.
Wow.
I forgot how much I liked them.
So I was calling because I wanted to talk. So Yankees are they're gonna definitely sign Juan Soto. That's for sure.
Definitely.
We're keeping Soto. Now Gerrit Cole just took. He went and he didn't take the extra money. I'm assuming that he wants to get another pitcher into that.
But remember this, Frank. Gerrit Cole had no choice. What happened yesterday, and it is kind of fascinating, is that Brian Cashman dared Scott Boras when Cole and Boras initiated the opt-out.
Right. They haven't told us this exactly, but it's what you can easily extrapolate.
What you could extrapolate is Gerrit Cole opted out. Boras thought, easy peasy, Cashman will tack on the extra year, no problem.
Yep.
Cashman said, not that comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Boras and Cole said, well, we want to be in New York. We don't want to go into the open market because there's no guarantee we're going to get the same numbers. So let's go to the Players Association, which they did, to get approval to walk back the opt-out. So basically what happened was Brian Cashman, and he deserves immense credit for this, he put his you-know-what on the table and said, all right, Scott, big shot.
Right.
No, we're not adding on the year.
No.
And that's what makes Brian Cashman really good at his job.
Go make this 4 years somewhere else.
Yeah, good luck. And I admit, this is why I'd be a bad GM at times. I wouldn't have had the guts to do that.
Right.
I would have tacked on the year, called it a day, and said, all right, we'll see you in Tampa.
Yeah.
We'll see you in spring training.
Right.
And the Yankees didn't do that. Now, as far as the Yankees keeping Juan Soto, this comes down to one human being, and it's not Brian Cashman. It's Hal Steinbrenner. How willing is Hal going to be to go to an area financially he may not be comfortable with? We made our predictions. You could rewind on the Odyssey app to about 305 on the kind of contract we think Soto's going to get. We're all kind of in that $700 million range, in that $50 million a year range. is Hal Steinbrenner going to be willing to go there? Because I don't believe for a second, Teague, Juan Soto's taking any kind of discount.
No, he's not, and he shouldn't. He's the best, one of the best players, if not the best player in baseball right now. He should be paid as one of the best athletes in all of sport.
Jack's on Long Island. Hey, Jack.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good. What's up?
What's up?
So, listen, I would really just love to make it more realistic in terms of the finances for getting Juan Soto for the Mets. It could benefit the Yankees to do it this way as well. But as far as the Mets are concerned, being able to pair him with Pete Alonso would be the ideal situation, in my opinion. Any shot that you guys think Juan Soto would take 2 years, $80 million, he's still going to be 28 years old. You sell him on the team to get the victory and just see how it goes.
No. No, I know, shot. I think you'd have a better chance of saying, all right, we're going to give you a one-year contract and we're going to pay you $90 million a year. We're going to give you such an absurd number for 1 year. Juan will be like, yeah, all right, I'm 26. I'll have another monster year, right, and then I'll get the same contract after that. But no, I think this is the moment and this is the time for Juan to go all in. Now, what he could do, if a team is willing, is throw a lot of opt-outs in there,
right,
which gives him the option at any moment to say, I'm going to go back into free agency because the market's changed, because I think I can get even more.
But I think this is the, the market's changed. Is it going to change in 2 years? That's the question.
I think it could in the wrong way.
Yes, I
agree. Especially with everything going on with the local TV viewing of Major League Baseball.
And so when you think about money, like increasing revenues, which then increase how much money the players are going to make, as you mentioned, the TV contracts, local regional networks are not doing great. In fact, we've heard these stories for the last 2 years about them closing down, not even broadcasting local games and things of that nature. But there's not like this glut of stars coming free, which is just going to create like a feeding frenzy. It's him and really nobody.
Right.
And so it's hard to be a lone wolf and think you're going to make a ton more money.
Yeah.
Right? When you look at the NFL, look at the wide receivers. It took Tyreek Hill jumping up to $30 million. Now everybody's running with him. I don't think that's going to happen in baseball. So he kind of has to hit it right now.
Yeah, this is the moment.
Right.
This is the time. He's waited long enough to get that monster contract, and he will. Ray's in Lynbrook. How are you, Ray?
Yeah, Evan, it's a question for you. I haven't listened to the show in a while, so I don't know if anybody brought this up.
Yes.
But I know you're into politics.
Yeah.
So I have a question for you. Would you rather have your candidate win today or for the next couple of days?
Yeah.
Or you have to wait at least 4 years, maybe 8 years, for any of your sports teams to win a championship?
So I, believe it or not, Ray, I put this out as a Twitter poll, I'd say a month ago. I did. And it got very heated in the mentions. And what I will tell you is a little story as I wear my James Garfield for President shirt.
I'm a loser.
I understand that we are very divided as a country. I totally get that. Okay? I get it. I understand it. I feel it. We all feel it. I believe our country will overcome whatever the result is today. I know some people will tell you otherwise, and some people genuinely have that fear, and I feel you. But I believe our country is so great that no presidential election, even the one today, is going to stop the earth from spinning. And so because of that, and my love of country, give me the championship and give it to me now. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
You care more about sports than you do about politics.
That's not fair. And I knew somebody would say it. I didn't think it was you. I prefaced it with, no, I believe in my country so much that I don't think this one election is going to change the world. Now, trust me, I got family members who completely disagree. So I understand. I've heard this. So for that reason, and thank you for the question, Ray. Such a great question. By the way, coming up at about 6:15 as we sign off, I will release my official presidential prediction for tonight on social media with a map.
Super
I have the map.
Duper. Can't wait.
Are you excited, Sean?
Oh, I can't wait.
Did you fill out a map yet?
No.
270 to win is the website. What are you doing?
Me? Yeah. I'm watching Twitter ahead of the NFL trade deadline.
All right. We got about 7 more minutes.
We do.
Aziz Ojulari will not be moved by the
You know that for sure?
That's what it's coming out.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike Garafolo is reported, barring a last-minute change, the Giants will hold on to Aziz Ojulari.
By the way, Mike Garafolo is my guy.
Is he?
Yeah, every time I like tweet something that I'm confused about in the NFL, he responds to me immediately on social media and tells me what's going on. Like, during the Giant game on Sunday, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but all of a sudden, the Giants, they were receiving after a Washington score, and they started at the 20. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? Why are we starting at the 20?
Yes.
Like, what the hell happened? So I even texted the group. I texted Sean, you. You're busy, obviously.
Yes.
And I'm like, why the hell did the Giants start from the 20? Mr. Football Sean Morris is like, I didn't even notice.
I'm so used to the ball just starting somewhere between the 20 and 30. I don't even care anymore.
So I cared. Maybe I'm a geek. I was like, what the hell's going on? Mike Garafolo, within like 30 seconds on social media, explained, well, it didn't end in the landing zone. It's because of the new kickoff rule, which I'm still very confused by.
Now, real quickly, one more tweet.
The 20
on the
or 25?
20?
Something about it bouncing before or after.
Yeah, like where it bounced is what caused
it. So if the ball goes into the end zone on the kick, the ball, and it's down, it goes to the 30.
Okay.
If it lands in the landing zone and then rolls into the end zone, it goes to the 25.
Well, what he said was the ball bounced.
There must have been a penalty as well.
There was no penalty. I fact-checked it. The ball bounced in the landing zone first, according to Mike Garafolo.
Yes.
And for whatever reason, that's the 20. I went on the apps to see if there was a penalty, Teak. There was no penalty.
Did they change that rule a couple weeks ago when they weren't happy with the kick returns?
I don't know.
This is so stupid.
This is the problem. We still all don't know.
Now, real quickly.
Was there a penalty on before the kickoff?
No.
No.
Huh. I'm telling you, I got in the rabbit hole of why the Giants started on the 20, and I'm still bothered by it.
Tiki's going to go down one.
Good.
We all love Wesley Steinberg, the fake Giant reporter account. Fake.
It's a fake account, yes.
Fake account. I just want to tell you what he has now tweeted ahead of the deadline.
Can't wait to hear this.
Giant general manager Joe Shane is sat in his office with his thumb firmly planted up his ass, per source.
We can confirm that.
When we come back, the results of the NFL trade deadline. Will the Giants do anything in the next 5 minutes? And I'll tell you why I'm not thrilled at what the Jets actually did do.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.